All right, get ready, because we're diving headfirst into the book of Hebrews.
Ooh, exciting.
You guys sent in a ton of excerpts from this Dr. David A. DeSilva.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
And he is, like, apparently the expert on the New Testament.
He's pretty amazing.
So just a heads up, even skimming through this stuff, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is deep. We're going deep.
Okay.
So get this. It might not even be a letter. It might be a sermon.
Interesting.
And was it even written for the Hebrews?
Hmm.
I don't know. This is going to be good.
Lots of questions.
So lucky for us, we have an expert in all things ancient text. Hidden meanings.
That's me.
It's like having a time machine for the Bible.
Let's go back in time.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
First off, let's talk about the author. We don't even know their name.
No.
There's no, like, dear so-and-so at the beginning. What's the deal with that?
It's like a hit song with no name.
Yeah.
We have no idea who wrote it.
A total mystery.
Scholars have been trying to figure that out forever. They're looking at the vocabulary, the style, even the theology.
Okay, so, like, clues.
Yeah. Like a literary detective story.
Okay, so like Sherlock Holmes of the Bible.
Exactly.
I like it. Now, some scholars, and this is where it gets interesting, think that this might actually be from someone in Paul's inner circle.
Yeah, that's a very popular theory.
Okay, so are we saying that someone in Paul's crew might have, like, forged this letter?
It's possible. I mean, there were some really interesting connections between Hebrews and Paul's letters. So, you know, it's a theory.
Okay, so that's crazy to me. Not only do we not know the author, they could be connected to Paul. This is already, my mind is blown.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's a good mystery.
Now, the whole Hebrews thing.
Right.
I just assume that's for Jewish Christians.
You would think, right.
Yeah.
But those early titles, they weren't always super accurate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kind of like old maps that say, here be dragons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they didn't always get it right.
They were a little off.
A little off. Many scholars now think that the audience was actually mixed. Jewish and Gentile Christians all together.
So wait, that's a mixed bag. How do you write for both?
It was interesting. The Old Testament actually became a bridge between those two groups.
Okay.
It wasn't just about the Jewish roots. It was about finding meaning in these ancient texts for their brand new faith.
I see. So the Gentiles, they were just as into it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
The Old Testament helped them to understand their faith in Jesus.
It's all connected.
It all connected.
So understanding the Jewish sacrificial system,
yeah,
helped all the early Christians grasp, like, the meaning of Christ's sacrifice.
It was a really powerful way to understand what Jesus had done.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
And it was a way for both groups to connect. They were both trying to figure out, what does it mean to be a Christian in this world?
And this book kind of gave them the roadmap.
It gave them some guidance, definitely.
Chapter 6, I'm looking at my notes.
Yeah.
Goes into some pretty intense Christian teaching, like repentance, faith, baptisms, even talks about resurrection and judgment.
Yeah. It's kind of like Christianity 101.
It is. But when you look closer, it tells us a lot about, like, who was in the audience, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Think about it. Most Jewish people already believed in God, and they believed in resurrection.
That was their starting point.
Exactly. But the Gentiles,
they were coming from different, they had different beliefs.
Totally different.
Yeah.
And they were converting from pagan beliefs and practices.
So these were, like, huge life-altering concepts for them.
Absolutely. They were turning away from idolatry, from what the book calls dead works.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
They needed to understand these basic core ideas.
There's something else here. It says baptisms, plural.
Ooh, good catch.
Is there something, like, is there more to that?
Yeah, scholars have a few different ideas about that. It could refer to different types of baptism that were happening in the early church, or maybe it's a contrast. Christian baptism versus Jewish or even pagan purification rituals. We're not entirely sure.
So this one word gives us insight into the audience and early Christian practices.
It's amazing what you can learn from just one word.
It is. You know, all this is making me wonder, what was it like to be a Christian back then?
What was daily life like?
Yeah, what was daily life like?
Well, it definitely wasn't easy.
Not a walk in the park.
Not at all. Remember those mentions of reproaches and trials?
Mm-hmm.
Seizure of property?
Mm.
Believers imprisoned for their faith.
Yeah, this wasn't just, like, abstract theology. These people were facing some real danger.
Absolutely. We're talking serious social pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine your neighbors using shame tactics, trying to force you back into the old ways.
Oh, wow. Like your own family turning against you
because
of your beliefs?
Exactly.
Wow. Why would anyone join this group knowing the risks? What was the appeal?
That's the big question, right? And the answer is in the power of the message.
Okay.
Think about it. Forgiveness of sins, eternal life. a community of support.
That's a pretty good deal.
It's a pretty compelling package, even with the risk of persecution.
So it was about finding hope and strength in this new community, even when the world was pushing back against you.
Absolutely. And that's a theme we see throughout Hebrews.
That's incredible. So how did the author try to help them hold on to that hope?
Yeah. How did they keep them going when things got tough?
We'll dive into that right after this.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
It's really amazing, though, how these excerpts show us how these early Christians were struggling.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just with, like, outside persecution. It sounds like they had some inner doubts, too.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Like, when you leave everything behind for this new faith, doubts are going to creep in, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So how does our author address that?
Yeah.
Well, they knew that these early Christians needed a pep talk, a reminder of why they were doing this. And, you know, we talked about gratitude earlier. That's a huge part of the message in Hebrews. Being grateful for what you've gained. Forgiveness, a new family, the promise of eternal life.
It's like, hey, I know things are rough right now, but look at what you have.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this all ties back into this really interesting concept in ancient culture called patronage.
Patronage. Okay, now you've got me.
Right.
What does that have to do with Hebrews?
All right, so picture this. Back then, you know, if you needed resources, if you needed opportunities, even just basic necessities, you relied on somebody more powerful than you, a patron.
Okay, I see.
And then you would show your gratitude by being loyal to them and serving them.
So it was all about keeping that relationship strong, right?
Exactly. So the author of Hebrews is using this same idea, but they're applying it to our relationship with God. God is like the ultimate patron, right? He's given us this incredible gift through Jesus.
So it's our turn to show that gratitude and loyalty back.
Exactly. And this is where those warning passages we talked about earlier have that extra weight. They're not just empty threats. It's like saying, don't just throw away this incredible gift that you've been given.
That makes a lot of sense. And it makes that need for that community, that support, even stronger, right? I mean, we've talked about how vital that was for early Christians facing persecution, but it sounds like it's more than just survival.
Oh, yeah. It goes so much deeper than that.
Correct.
The author really emphasizes this over and over again. Encourage one another, support each other, don't stop meeting together, build each other up.
So it wasn't just about making it through, it was about thriving in this new life.
Exactly. And that's something we can still relate to today, right? We all need that sense of belonging. We need a support system.
We do. That human connection, it's timeless.
Yeah. Hebrews reminds us that we're not meant to walk this journey of faith alone. We need each other.
This is giving me so much to think about. So I have a question. When was this written, this sermon? Do we know?
That's the million-dollar question. That's a question that scholars have been asking for centuries. We don't have a specific date, but based on the text, most scholars think it was written before the Jerusalem temple was destroyed in 70 AD.
So we're talking about a very specific moment in time when this early church was still trying to, like, find its footing.
Exactly. And that context is super important if we want to really understand what the author is saying. This is an urgent message for these people. They're living in a world where their faith could literally cost them everything.
Everything. Homes, families, even their lives.
And the author's doing everything they can to inspire them to keep going.
To keep fighting that good fight.
To persevere.
Yeah. Now, we've been talking a lot about holding on to that faith, not drifting away, but what does that look like in everyday life? How are they supposed to, you know, walk the walk?
That's the question, isn't it? The author doesn't just want them to talk the talk. They want to see action. And they give them some pretty practical advice on how to do that.
All right. So we know that the author of Hebrews really wants these Christians to put their faith into action. But what does that look like practically? I mean, it can't just be about showing up to meetings, right?
Right. It's so much more than that. And this is where we see that idea of despising shame come back in. Remember how important honor and reputation were back then.
Oh, yeah. So going against the grain, having your family and friends question everything you do, that takes guts.
It does. And the author is calling them to this higher standard, a loyalty to God that's bigger than anyone else's opinion.
That's powerful. You know, it makes me think of that Hall of Faith passage in Hebrews 11. All those heroes, Abraham, Moses, even Jesus, they all faced opposition, hardship, but they stayed true to their calling.
That's such a great connection. The author uses those examples to remind these early Christians, hey, you're not alone in this. You're part of something much bigger.
Right. Like, if they could do it, so can you. And that goes back to that theme of perseverance. It's not about being perfect. It's about getting back up when you fall. Never giving up on that hope.
Exactly. And, you know, that's where the support system comes in. The author also talks about how important mutual encouragement is. This isn't a solo mission.
Right. We've talked about community a lot, but what did that actually look like? Was it all structured meetings and stuff?
Well, we don't have a detailed plan, but we get glimpses. Meeting together is part of it, yeah. But also encouraging one another, helping each other out, welcoming strangers. It's about really being there for each other in practical ways.
Yeah.
Creating that safe space.
That's so important, especially with all that hostility they were facing. Imagine your property being taken away, being thrown in jail just because you're a Christian. You'd need that support more than ever.
Absolutely. The author knew that love and unity were key. It wasn't just about survival. It was about building something beautiful, something different.
Wow. That really changes how I see it. Hebrews isn't just a survival guide. It's about creating a whole new way of life.
Yeah.
A life based on love and generosity.
Exactly. And, you know, it challenges us to do the same today. How can we create those kinds of spaces in our own communities?
Yeah.
Where people feel loved and supported? How do we build unity in a world that's so divided?
Man, those are tough questions. And they get to the heart of what this sermon is all about. It's not just about understanding these ideas. It's about letting them change us. It's about how we live and how we treat each other.
And that's the beauty of studying these ancient texts, you know. They can still speak to us today. They have this timeless wisdom for navigating the challenges of faith.
I completely agree. This deep dive has been incredible. We've explored the mystery author, the diverse audience, the historical context, and most importantly, the message of Hebrews. Perseverance, gratitude, and the power of community.
It's been a real joy unpacking these insights with you.
Likewise. And to everyone listening, I hope this has sparked your curiosity about the book of Hebrews. This letter, or sermon, is packed with wisdom and encouragement for anyone navigating faith in today's world. As we wrap up, here's a final thought for you. The author of Hebrews really emphasizes gratitude. So ask yourself, what are you most grateful for in your own life? And how does that gratitude shape your choices, your actions? If this deep dive has you intrigued, I highly recommend checking out Dr. De Silva's full commentary on Hebrews. You might be surprised what else you discover. Thanks for joining us on this journey.